If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have credits. But what I do have is armor. Armor made of Beskar. And if you don't return Baby Yoda, I think the world might end. This isn't Taken, but this is the Mandalorian After Show. I have spoken.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz...
Welcome back! Welcome back! What a week in the Star Wars galaxy! Christian every time just kills this intro.
Every time.
I think what's happening is there's a lot of stress. Twitter almost broke because of the stress.
I know.
Of what happened in this episode. Let's get right into it because my co-pilot's freaking out. But I'm Steph Sabraw, aka Chewbacca's long lost daughter. We have the head of Popcorn Talk, a.k.a. Rylo Ren,
Ryan Nilsson here. And yes, I know we're stressed. There's a lot of things happening right now in our country. Baby Yoda has been taken.
Screw the impeachment hearings. All that matters
Baby about Yoda. Baby Yoda.
To our left is Grand Admiral Zia Anderson. She's a part of the Marvel panel, but also a mega Star Wars fan.
The Force is with her.
With her number one co-host, Grand Moff Christian Blatt.
That was a perfect use of
McClunky
that.
McClunky to you all. Happy Life Day, everybody.
Okay, this episode, directed by Deborah Chow, written by Jon Favreau. Epic episode. We knew that was going to happen again because she just...
She's a beast.
She's a beast, and I talked to the panel about this before. I think this was the most well-written episode. I feel like they've really gotten their bearings on what they want to do with this show, and it's still an adventure of the week, but we got back to like a more holistic story of what the bigger picture is.
Yes.
So we're going to break it down. It's almost chronologically because each step of this episode, major things happened and obviously ended on a huge cliffhanger. It is the penultimate episode, which means chapter 8 is going to be crazy. After we break down the episode, we will get into our director's corner. We've done this with Deborah Chow, but there are more things happening in the Chow universe.
Yes.
Ryan's going to handle that. And then Zia is going to hit us with some news and gossip. Obviously, we know Rise of Skywalker is going to premiere this week. Three of us have seen it. Zia will
see it. And then there's also Zia.
We will not spoil you, we promise. But there's news around it. It's obviously causing a lot of controversy
some
and conversation.
Hubbub.
Yeah.
And Christian Blatt is in the chat.
Blatt chat.
We're taking a look at the Blatt chat, and we'll let you know what everybody's saying.
Yes.
Are they worried about Baby Yoda like we are?
Yeah, we're
everybody
concerned.
Has to be.
Ryan, hit us with your overall thoughts
overall
of this episode.
Overall thoughts? I need Baby Yoda to touch my heart and heal these wounds this episode gave me. I feel scarred. I feel taken advantage of. I've been, my heart has been racing all day. I think my heart skipped a beat at the end of this episode. This was beyond a cliffhanger. This was like a cliff. I'm going to slap you in the face a bunch of times and make you wait not only a week, but a week and a half, because we're not getting the next episode until after the holiday,
which is crazy.
I don't know if I can make it, really. I think I want a Christmas present of an earlier premiere for next week. But yes, like you were saying, this is one of the most well-written episodes yet. Deborah Chow is an all-star director. We'll get into her a little later. Loved this episode. There is a through line. It's not just an adventure of the week.
Yes.
We had people come back into this episode.
So happy about that.
Thrilled to see them. Absolutely loved it.
Zia?
I really love this episode. I know last episode I said was my favorite. This one is a very strong contender.
Love that.
It was just really good. No, you're good, Ryan. Ryan's too excited.
I'm good.
He's choking on his tea. I really, really enjoyed that we got Cara Dune back, which I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen. They advertised her so much. I'm really, really glad that they brought her back. I was a little bit disappointed in some of her lines. I feel like they could have used her a little bit better. And there was one sequence in the episode that I was like, unless it comes back in some way, why did we get that? That was so unnecessary. Other than that, amazing episode. I was not ready for that end at all. I was not ready. I watched the episode twice today, and both times I was like,
I had to rewind.
At the end, just like, yeah. Just
I'm like, are
staring.
Those ears?
Those are ears.
No!
Like,
Quill, have you made it to the dropship? Quill, have you made it to the dropship? Quill.
Christian.
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to have to point out that, Ryan, you're getting exactly what you deserve because if you remember just last week, you considered killing Baby Yoda.
Oh,
just
my
for,
God.
Just for a non-speaking cameo. just for that non-speaking
that is a teaser
cameo.
Of our news and gossip.
I'm just saying.
That's a teaser because there is another pilot in the galaxy who has threatened Baby Yoda's life, and we will play that clip. I think Vito knows what I'm talking about. Vito, we have a different producer in the booth, equally as amazing, way more knowledge than Jeff Graham.
He's actually seen a Star Wars movie.
Actually loves Star Wars and The Mandalorian, so we're happy to have him.
Thank you guys for having me.
And a tremendous fan of the Star Wars Holiday Special, so welcome to Vito in the booth. But what I wanted to say is that I thought this was a great episode, and I think... We had talked last week, you know, that obviously they're building up to something. I thought we were going to get some familiar faces. Did not think we would get Nick Nolte. It's not Quill. It's Queel.
Queel.
And so as soon as I saw him, I'm like, well, this is already a good episode. And then, of course, a little bit of a roller coaster of emotions. I just worry so much about that little guy.
Oh,
and
I mean, wow.
I really hope he's okay. I hope Queel's okay, too, but I'm really worried about Baby Yoda.
Me, too.
He's just so cute.
I'm glad we assembled our Mandalorian Avengers. we did not end on a high note, but I'm glad that we're getting characters back. I'm not in love with Cara Dune's character, and I wish I was.
Mm.
I don't know if she's being utilized in the best way. I think physically, absolutely, she's incredible that way, but her lines and kind of her character, I'm not loving, which I hate that I don't love her.
I really liked her the first episode she appeared in, but this episode, I just think that the lines they wrote for her were really cheesy. They were kind of unnecessary.
There was one scene, the first scene that I have a problem with.
Which one was that?
It was the arm wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'll explain why when we get into
it.
Okay. So let's just jump right in. Mando gets a hologram call, a holo call from
Please
Greek
hold
Karga.
For Carl Weathers.
And I instantly did not trust this. I'm like,
Mando.
No,
you know better, but he needs that money.
He
has
that
a
money.
Child to support now.
And right. He also has to, he knows the only way to, because people keep coming after Baby Yoda. And unless he gets rid of the imp, I love that they keep calling him the imp.
I know.
I was like, okay, cool. I mean, short for Imperial, I'm assuming, but like, yeah. It was really funny. But unless they get rid of the imp, the client, there's always going to be people coming after Baby Yoda. So it's like a double edge. He needs the money and he wants like safety for this child that he has taken under his protection.
It'd be a win-win.
Yeah.
And I had the same thought. I'm like, come on, Mando, you're smarter than this. And at least he does assemble his Mando Avengers.
Yeah.
So now he gets like his team. He gets people he actually trusts.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was just going to fly right in there and be like, hey, Carl Weathers, let's work together.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, he should be smarter than
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
So at least he knew not to trust the situation.
That was such a cool scene when he landed and they ride up, because I knew he picked them up. I didn't know he also brought the animals with him.
I thought that was cool.
And then they're just like sizing each other up. He's like, you brought your team, I brought mine.
Yeah,
it's a great
good,
scene
bro?
Like they're very smart.
But before that, his first stop is Sorgon, and this is we see in chapter 4, which is his first introduction to Kara. And that's a cool scene with her. She's fighting a Zabrak.
Yeah.
And they're connected with some sort of power. It's pretty. It's a cool way to fight.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
It's like a rope. Of
that's
some sort.
Actually how Ryan and I met.
Yeah.
He won the fight, clearly. But.
Interesting, though, with her, she wasn't convinced. And then as soon as he said that it's the target is Imperial, I'm in.
I like that.
You
I
like
that?
She was
cool.
A rebel fighter.
Yeah. I like that she's just like, no, I really want to stay out of it. Oh, it's Imperial. Okay, yeah. You know what I mean? I like that she's like, I just want to stay out of it. But then she's like, all right, it's important. You talked me into it. And I think he kind of knew that, too.
But jumping ahead a little bit, just with her, another issue I had was they wanted to cover her arm tattoo.
Sure. Mm. They only mentioned it six times.
The woman has a face tat, bro, and it's a rebellion symbol.
Yeah, it is on her eye.
I didn't think of that.
That's a great point.
I kind of thought that they were also referring to her face tattoo. Was it specifically
just
the
arm? No, she only covered her arm.
She only covered her arm, yeah. and it seemed that was what they were speaking of.
She could have put some dust over it or
just
something.
Some powder.
Plant. They were walking through Mordor. She could have done something.
That's a good point.
Don't they have they have concealer in a long time ago, Galaxy Far, Far Away?
Yeah,
I know.
I kind of liked how we got reintroduced to her, though. I'll be honest. Like, I liked the wrestling match. And
I thought it was fun because it's different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see.
I like that scene, and I do think that is her. That is the strength that they're using and playing to. I don't think they've figured out her dialogue yet or kind of like the depth of her character in a way. But... Now let's get into Queel. So this is when we're in Arvala 7, mm-hmm. Nick Nolte's home base. Yeah. And this brings about a lot of interesting conversation, especially concerning IG-11, who he's reformed.
Awesome. No, I'm sorry. That was the sequence that I was like, we did not need that. Unless I thought that was like a ridiculous... I was like, wait, why did we get that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really, really didn't like it. Unless it comes back next episode.
Why don't we save that for, yeah. Because that I have a prediction about IG-11.
Okay.
I think we've gotten him for a reason.
Do think that has to be foreshadowing something, but for this particular moment in time, I was like, I could have done without that in this episode. That was nonsense time.
There were some good laughs. He was bringing him drinks.
Right. I kind of liked it because it adds another layer of... suspense. We know Mando hates droids, obviously, because they like murdered his family.
Yeah, right.
But also, understandable. This one was specifically programmed to kill Baby Yoda, who is now on his ship permanently. So I love that heightened tension. It's also another bounty hunter, and so I'm digging it. I think it makes sense. You know, Queel would obviously want some more help with whatever farming or related things he's doing. So I'm into it, and no one else shares that hate for droids that Mando has. So it kind of... That's why I think I bought it a little more.
I didn't mind him bringing him back and explaining it. I just didn't need the flashback sequence of showing it.
Of him, like, building
the part,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
The montage.
The other part I don't mind
I think
all.
It was in Queel's writing and the client's writing that I was like, this is magnificent. When he was saying droids are not good or bad, they are neutral reflections of those who imprint them.
Ooh.
That's
I wrote that down, too.
Yeah.
That's a really good line.
Yeah, that's absolutely... I mean, because... You know, it's like people will talk about pets or children, you know. It's like, that's a bad dog, that's a bad kid. It's like, well, what about the owner / parent?
And Queel's just take on being able to help Baby Yoda, and when he says none will be free until the old ways are gone forever. And I love that they're playing more into the politics of what's happening right now. And I think that is such a strength that they haven't tapped into as much as they should.
Yeah.
And I love when Star Wars does that in a way that's not too intense, because we've seen that kind of fail in some of the movies. But I do think it's important because it speaks on the cultural significance that can relate to us.
It's also really nice to get a little glimpse into what it was like after the Empire fell, because they're still out there. There's still people. The client, in his speech that he gave Mando in the canteen in the bar, talking about how much he believed in the Empire. Like, he still believes in that vision and that it was going to create a better world for everyone. And there's still all of these stormtroopers that are still working for people that, like, the Empire is gone. They lost the war, but they're not gone. And it's interesting to see a little bit of that, you know, getting that, because they're not going to disappear all at once. They blew up the Death Star. They didn't kill everyone.
Yeah, so I think Werner Herzog has we went into a system and we made it better. It's just that belief that, no, this is what was right. This is what we did. You know, everybody's lives were better. It's sort of like, to bring it to Marvel, it's like Thanos. It's like, we made everything better. Did you ever go hungry under the Empire? Sure, you weren't free, but...
But you were fed.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, so I think that that defense was just interesting to hear, because now you just hear it. And yeah, to kind of, you know, just it's a little bit, but it makes it easy to believe that this is 5 years after Return of the Jedi, that whatever it is, 20, 30, I guess it's like 30 years, Force Awakens, is like, that's how the First Order was able to come about. Because this doesn't go away even over 30 years. You know, there's still remnants of it. You still have people who are true believers. They're just kind of for hire, like those stormtroopers that we see in this series.
Exactly. So now the whole force is assembled, and this is my problem with the following scene, the one that I spoke to earlier. We have Mando and Kara arm wrestling. I feel like this was just a scene to show that Baby Yoda will use the force and force choke her. And to me, that doesn't make sense, because if we remember in Chapter 4, he saw them literally fighting, and that was actually based in aggression, whereas this was based in pure fun. And he was sipping soup.
Well, I was going to say, to That's be fair, there was point. No soup on the ship, so he wasn't
Maybe
able
he
to
was
get.
Tense.
It's interesting because it gives you the idea of, like, oh, you know, this whole time we think about, like, how cute Baby Yoda is. And, of course, we think of adult Yoda. We think of Master Yoda.
Yeah.
But what if, like, this guy is is like this, you know, sleeper agent for the Sith.
He
know?
Went straight for a Sith
he,
move.
He like this immediately tries to choke
move.
Her.
I think it was a protective move.
Yeah, I know. I get it. He's look, definitely grown attached.
Look, that's his Mando daddy. Yeah. I get it. It's cool, but it just got me to start thinking. I'm like, maybe we're looking at Baby Yoda all wrong.
It is.
Maybe the Empire wants him for a reason.
Yeah. You know? No, I do. Well, and speaking of the Empire, the only time we've seen Luke do this once or twice, but really the only people who use this are Darth Vader and Kylo Ren. I mean, it's pretty exceptional to see another Force-sensitive creature use a like, a choke.
Mace Windu didn't do any choke holds.
But like Luke did it to a Grimorian guard in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Sorta. Okay. And he was like, But it wasn't maybe a choke. It was maybe it was some kind of like tickle choke.
No, yeah, I'm saying Luke did it, but it's done it. It's not usually used.
Right.
It's a Sith move.
I like this scene because it adds another interesting layer, like what Christian just said. I don't know about sleeper agent for the Sith, but the idea that he could go bad.
What's going on with him?
That the Empire could use him.
Yeah, and that just hit me, speaking of Quill's lines, that it's about who is parenting or overseeing. And it's the same with babies are impressionable as the droids.
Well, and totally. Really, I think a lot of that, too, is the fact that Baby Yoda sees... I mean, Steph, you brought up such a great point that he literally saw them fighting before and didn't do anything. But in that, I guess he's sitting there and he's watching his protector, this person that he's grown very attached to, possibly lose at something, and maybe he doesn't understand the stakes of it, but he understood enough to jump in there and try to protect this person. But it was just interesting what he used to try to do that, how he tried to protect him. But he still did. He has this attachment to Mando, and that's kind of like his person. You see it anytime he gets taken away, too. The way he emotes is with his ears, and the way his eyes and his ears are, anytime he's taken away from Mando, he's like, oh my God, I don't like this.
Also, with Quill, I just have this, I trust you. Yeah. Whatever you say, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, and he snaps at Kara a few times.
Definitely. And you saw a side of Quill here. And, I mean, you're also more comfortable with him because he just made a new crib.
Yep.
He just designed this, like, awesome way for it to, like, open and close. It looks like... bulletproof, blaster proof, everything proof.
Lived 3 human lifetimes.
And then he snaps at Kara. Like that was like an old uncle just like drunk freaking out yelling at someone. Nick Nolte.
You don't know
love
what I've been through.
But kind of scary, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Before we move on to the next section of this episode, I do want to shout everyone out in the chat. Thank you for riding with us live. We really appreciate it. You are definitely part of this panel with us. Make sure to hit that like button. Leave us a comment after this video ends. And also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hello!
Hello! Give us a 5-star rating.
Yes.
We'll shout you out on air.
So let's talk about this meetup with Greef Karga. And they kind of were sizing each other up, which I love that scene. But then it led to a really epic scene where we get like venomous bats.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was crazy.
The like fireside
dragon
chat.
Dragon bat things. Those were crazy.
Everything's going to be fine.
Immediate timing. The thing that I don't get is how they were there. If that's their sort of home, especially Greef Karga, he does business out of that. Off that planet, he should know that those are creatures that are somewhere that, like, they should have known about those. He should have realized that that was a threat, unless they came out of nowhere. That is possible. But
yeah, but you got to figure
that's a good point.
You know, even if he doesn't camp out near the riverbed very often, he should know, like, well, you know, there is stuff that flies around out there, so you should be careful.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah. And he didn't at all. So, but it was very funny. Everything will be fine. And then instantly everything was not fine. So, yeah, I thought it was a very exciting sequence because it was like, wait, what? It was so fast paced and so much happened in just those few minutes. So
it would have been so funny if he got his arm bit off like Chubbs and Happy Gilmore.
Because
he's Happy. I think that would have been amazing. And they're like, you took his hand. You took his hat, dingbats. I would have loved that.
Hilarious.
But it didn't happen. But he gets scarred.
Yes.
Pretty. And it's like a gnarly scar.
More insane than a force choke is healing, which we have never seen. In the galaxy.
Mm-mm. Never.
No, and
we've never seen it.
This is not the first time he's attempted it. This is just the first time that, again, Kara going, you know, get this thing out of here, and Quill and all of his wisdom being like, just shh, calm down, let's see what happens. And look what happened, because he tried to heal Mando. I think it was in episode 2.
Yeah.
And he put him back in the stroller immediately. And this was the first time that Quill kind of realized, there's something very different about this child. Let's see what happens.
Oh, right. Because I guess he did touch him in 2.
Yes.
So yeah.
He tried to.
Wow.
He tried to, but he didn't. He just didn't let him get out of the way.
And that's what we had thought. We had all thought that that was what he was attempting to do.
And that's this reversal of earlier, you know, we saw the choke, and now this is a bringing back to life, in a way.
His instinct is, I believe his instinct is based in goodness.
Right. Yeah, but he's going to have that choice, like you said, or how he's raised.
Well, there was an interesting in chat. I believe Steve Owen said Baby Yoda is learning violence from Mando.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point.
Oh, you know, that is interesting.
Nature versus nurture.
Possible. Yeah.
But because of this, Grief Karga admits that he was going to bamboozle him and screw him over, but he ends up killing his own men, which was a cool turn of events because, I mean, this little angel child saved your life, so it's well deserved. But that leads us to the client, and this was another such a well-written scene. I was obsessed with this. The tension was incredible. It was shot and edited so well. Ryan, what did you think about this?
Loved this scene so much. Also, him just talking about the Empire.
Yeah.
For a second, I'm like, Christian, you're convincing me. You're like, he's literally like, all this hate and darkness.
Yeah, I'm ready to enlist.
Everyone,
safety, prosperity, trade opportunity, peace. Yeah. Is the world more peaceful since the revolution?
Right. Show me a kid.
Which is interesting.
He's just like, the world sucks. Show me the child.
He did go right into it. It was really funny.
Yeah, I guess that's why we do need Baby Yoda. He kind of laid it out there for us. And I really, awesome scene. Interesting plan where they're like, I have a plan. You bring him back to the ship. We now have Carl Weathers on our side. Let's go visit the client. And so we know what's at stake here, but nothing ever goes according to plan. And that just made the perfect stakes for this entire scene.
Yeah, and then we get the call from Off Gideon, Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Christian, what did you think about the introduction of this character?
I know we've been waiting for him, and I thought it was great. What's his full name?
Off Gideon.
Off Gideon. It's good to know that he runs the Off Gideon's Fried Chicken, and then he, of course, came there to me. I mean, look, honestly, he's playing the same character. Let's be honest.
Oh, my God.
I think it's different.
But he says, you have something
in
mind.
I know, but it's the same kind of presence is what I mean. Yes. Of course, it's not the same
Definitely
character.
Presence.
But he just comes out, and you're just like... Yeah. Okay, so this is some kind of baller gangster type who can pretty much get anything he wants. And I actually didn't think we were going to see him. I thought when we saw the hologram, it was like, okay, we'll get him next episode. So when he showed up, I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. I thought it was really cool to see him. What I love about this sequence is...
Sorry, Moff Gideon. Moff Gideon. My
Like Moff Tarkin.
Like me, yeah.
Moff Gideon.
Grand Moff Christian. So... I thought that it was interesting because they kept talking about like, see, only 4 stormtroopers, and then of course it's like 4 battalions of stormtroopers, which I thought was it wouldn't be Star Wars if the plans went according to plan.
Those are shadow troopers. Is that what
death troopers? Death troopers.
Those are the death troopers.
God.
We also saw the speeder bike troopers from Return of the Jedi. So there was no shortage of troopers there.
Oh, so cool. And, I know, and they said 4.
And then at one point, he's like, see, I told you 4. And then, 8 more come in right after that.
Yeah, immediately.
So I thought the whole sequence was great because it just shows you what the stakes are. And it raises it to a point where you're like, is Mando really going to get out of this?
I definitely enjoyed what I really enjoyed about that was the fact that they had no qualms just shooting up the entire place and killing Werner Herzog, the client.
Yeah.
No issues with it. They killed him and all of the stormtroopers inside.
The child's what's important.
And we knew he answered to someone bigger than him.
Right.
And so, but it was interesting that he was like, you're just a casualty in this.
Mm-hmm. What a way to set up your villain, though. Like, I think... What better way to make an entrance? Like you said, Giancarlo Esposito, as an actor, he has such a presence. But there are moments in shows like Breaking Bad where he doesn't even say a line. He does one action, and you're like, this guy is a badass. And in this, it's like you just killed Werner Herzog.
Who is he is a force as well.
This guy is terrifying. And he's not like a lot of other Imperial generals. I feel like you either get like a no-name that's just kind of on screen, comes in and out, or you get someone like a Moff Tarkin, or even like an Admiral Thrawn from the books and now in the Rebel series. Like, this is definitely going to be a massive villain.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that we get him the episode before the finale, at the very end. So he's going to be, I wonder if he'll go into season two, or if he's going to be one.
Yeah,
you would
that's
think,
what
right?
I was thinking. Yeah.
I think so too, especially when he says it means more to me than you will ever know. And that's just interesting because we get some Quill form. He kind of says that he does not think that, he doesn't use the word clone, but he's kind of talking around that type of terminology. And so it just makes me wonder what the heck is going on. What? Why does Baby Yoda mean so much? How do you know? Because Quill doesn't know about the Force, but he alludes to it. It's obviously in some sort of discussion, but there's not much more that we know about that with where we are.
Right, and there's conversation about just what Baby Yoda is, you know, and they sort of, there's what they talk about in terms of, you know, genetic farming and that reference to Kara and all this. So it got me thinking a lot about, like, what is this? You know, we still don't assume that Yoda is actually this creature's father. Now, it could certainly be. It just doesn't seem like the most likely scenario. So is it like, you know, from a sample of his DNA, you know, and it just like, was it made in like a farm and then this one got away and they want it back? You know, there's, it raised so many questions that I hadn't really thought about. And it's like, well, yeah, Baby Yoda, we just want to know you.
There's a great article about that on AfterBuzzTV.com, written by yours truly, about the potential
what a setup, what a pivot,
of Baby Yoda.
But
so please check that out.
We have to talk about the events that followed this because...
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Wow. We hear Mando trying to check in on Quill.
Are you there yet?
What?
Are you there yet, Quill?
Are you there yet?
So urgently.
So urgently, only to see Quill on the floor and two Baby
Smoke
Yoda
coming out of his skin. Like
was
he just
that?
Got shot up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was terrible.
Oh, I couldn't tell if that was his ride.
It might have been.
So, it might have, you're actually right, it might have been. But oh my gosh.
But then Baby Yoda's ears are peering out and he is picked up like a football.
Scoop!
Those damn speeders are so fast.
They're so, so fast.
As they were racing across the desert and through Mordor again, I was like sitting there on my couch like this, like, is he gonna make it? Is he gonna make it? Why are they so fast? Damn it, Blurgs! Like freaking out in my living room.
Also, I wanted to see what the defense protocol was. He's like, go in the ship.
I did
commence
see
defense
that.
Protocol. Yeah. I'm like, what's the ship gonna do?
Yeah.
Is this gonna be like that Rick and Morty episode? Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. And we don't get to, like, that was such a realistic move and really daring. Like, I respected the heck out of that. I this show is taking massive risks, and I'm gonna be anxious the rest of the week, quite frankly.
Yeah, Ryan's not been okay.
He's not
day.
Gonna be able to celebrate Christmas because he's gonna be waiting for the 27th.
The Death Troopers, so the black troopers, you know, they were introduced in Rogue One. They are the stormtroopers that don't miss. You know, they are the ones that have good aim, as we clearly saw.
They're the only ones who can actually shoot something.
And in Rogue One, we didn't really get to see them in, like, a battle action. So this is just setting up, like, the highest stakes yet for the show next week. Like, I cannot wait to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really nervous because Mando and Kara are alone. It was Greef Karga. I mean, numbers are so down. It does not look good.
No. And I mean, look, they're good, but they're surrounded.
And even with Baby Yoda becoming more comfortable with his use of the Force, I mean, it's still, I don't know what they need. They need friends.
Yeah.
They need allies.
Well, that's what I'm kind of wondering and kind of hoping. This is a callback that I wouldn't mind. They've done it once, and I wouldn't mind if they did it again, if the other Mandalorians also showed up. To sort of help them get out of this situation.
It might be a theory that I was saving for.
Oh,
wow. Sorry, Christian.
I've got a couple people that I think are coming to the rescue.
Okay.
Well,
by people, I mean characters.
That's actually interesting because one more quote that I did pull from the client was when he said, why did Mandalore resist our expansion?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting take specifically on the
Mandalorians. Well, I mean, that's his whole point is that, you know, that we make everything better. Like, Mandalore would have been better if you had just submitted to the Empire.
Also, the character, we never got anything back from the feet that showed up. We literally just saw his feet, and he showed up for Ming-Na Wen's character.
Yes.
Is that going to come into play in this episode?
Or do you think that...
Or this next episode.
That, that was Gus Fring, Giancarlo Esposito, Grand Moff Esposito. Do you think that was him?
That's definitely possible.
What I was thinking. Okay, that's who that was at the end of the episode.
Wow,
following I know. I, despite through. Ryan's theory that it was a character from an animated series, I just feel like that might be who it is.
Yeah, I think. Just again with the directors, we'll talk about the directors later. I really do think that is still Cad Bane because Dave Filoni, man, directed the episode, did the whole Clone Wars series. But that'd be a great
theory. It would
theory.
Make sense if that's who it is. But yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, look, look at that.
There it
look
is.
At those feet.
Those feet. And we haven't gotten that. Anything. So that has to come into
look
play.
Look at that quality footwear. If Ooh. Only we know who has
Asics.
Shoes like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those have some good arch
Wait a
support.
Minute. Are those Bruno Mali shoes? Oh, is that OJ? Oh, no! Right. Juice! Get away!
And that is where we wrap our episode coverage and move on
loose.
To our special segment. Ryan,
yes.
Take our Director's Corner away.
Director's Corner, again, Deborah Chow doing her second episode this season. The last one she did was episode 3, which was full of praise. That was when we had all the Mandalorians
pop in
at the end. Yeah, how can we forget? Killing it once again with this episode. She is going to be directing, as of now, 6 episodes for the Obi-Wan spinoff series. She's showrunning that. I am so psyched for her.
So good.
Because really, I'm
so psyched for us.
Right, yeah, I mean, we're just gonna. I mean, it's gonna be a quality show.
So excited to watch.
She clearly has such a great knowledge of the universe and is awesome at tying all this stuff together and directing these action scenes and just establishing so much tension. She also has a new film that is in early development called The Possibility of Fireflies. It's gonna star Courtney Love. So she is stepping back into the world of features. She's only done one feature before, and that was a film she did like right out of film school with Zach Braff. So this, I'm just so psyched for Deborah Chow. Because she's so talented, and clearly The Mandalorian is opening up more and more possibilities for her. So just bravo. But those are really the only two things going on. Next week, we got Taika Waititi, who obviously plays IG-11. He also had Jojo Rabbit come out this year. He is directing the season finale of The Mandalorian. Ugh. I can't wait to see what he does with that. He's mostly known for his comedy drama with his films. You know, he did What We Do with the Shadows, which is just a straight up comedy, like a mockumentary about vampires. He did a Hunt for the Wilder People, which again, another comedy drama film, shot in New Zealand. And then this year, Jojo Rabbit, which this is now getting so much Oscar attention, it might get nominated for a couple of awards. So he's at like the height of his powers right now when it comes to directing, and I can't wait to see what he does with this. And I mean, yeah, he's also done Thor Ragnarok, so we know he's done these big blockbuster. He's been in this space before, so hopefully he knocks out of the park, and maybe he has a film on the horizon, but we'll see him next week.
Yes, thank you, Rye. Zia, can you hit us with some news and gossip?
Ooh, okay. I've got two. I have got, obviously, there's the Rise of Skywalker that just came out.
The what now?
The Last Rise of...
I've never heard of that.
Episode...
Wait, doing more movies? I thought there was just a TV show.
Did I just I was like, did I just make up the title?
I thought Star Wars was just TV shows now. I didn't know they were doing TV another movie.
Episode 9 tomorrow for people, right? It's Thursday night.
Yeah, tomorrow is it. But I did have I'm going to go with a really small one first. Pedro Pascal came into my work today and I freaked out. Like, almost had a miniature panic attack.
She texted all of us.
I did. I texted a group text in all capital letters. I was about to lose my mind. And no one else in the restaurant seemed to care. And I was like, you guys!
He didn't have his helmet on.
He didn't have his helmet on.
People would have been like, hey, where's Baby Yoda?
That is the top news.
That is the top news.
That is pretty big news.
She
saw
him.
Really nice. And he also tips really, really well. Just throwing
that
out there.
Okay, Pedro?
Like, very, very well. Yes. Like, 50% well.
I asked Zia to ask him if I could sit on Mando's lap.
Yeah. Yeah. He has to wear that helmet for it, though. And Like, it has to be one of those things.
Right.
Okay, so off with the small news. I just lost my mind. I have to tell you guys that. Big news. Rise of Skywalker is out. And it's interesting because it's getting a lot of negative reviews, which I don't understand because, and obviously we're not going to get into spoilers. Ryan's giving a look.
Speaking of reviews. You can see our review on Popcorn Talk.
Non-spoiler review.
Non-spoiler.
Is up on Popcorn Talk. And I will say, as Star Wars fans, I suggest you don't read these reviews.
Definitely don't read the reviews.
Get hyped. Get hyped for this saga to end and just enjoy it. Just don't listen to the critics.
And Vito in the booth, I can say I was in the room for the
non-spoiler.
The non-spoiler to to help them guide.
Keep us accountable.
To not
he held us accountable. This is someone who is dying to see the film, and he was in the room while we did our review, just so you know.
So ready.
So we didn't spoil anything.
No spoilers. I didn't get any spoilers either, which I'm one of those weirdos that I don't mind spoilers. But Christian texted me. I know, I'm so weird.
You would mind me.
She loves spoilers.
I like to know.
No, don't know anything for this.
Stuff's like, no. But I don't know anything, but Christian texted me afterwards and was like, yeah, I really liked it. And he said it was good, and I trust your
opinion. Well, that's what I was going to say to people. Like, if you watch this show and you like the way that we talk about Star Wars, you know, you can take what we say, but don't worry about anything. You know, it's just before we started, I find it obscene that we live in a time where people need to check something with as dumb of a name as the tomato meter. How stupid do you sound? Wait, I got to check the tomato meter. And look, how many movies that people that you have liked have terrible
ratings? How the Grinch
Stole
Christmas.
Have terrible ratings on there. You know, like, even movies that I don't love. I mean, you know, Batman vs. Superman is like a 29. I'm like, well, it's not that bad. You know, you look at these ratings and you're like, okay, but there's the critics. And like, when do you read a critic review and you go like, that's exactly how I feel about a movie.
Yeah, I typically don't agree with critics.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, look, when fans are writing reviews, sure, but I'm talking about someone who is a film with a capital F critic. And, like, you know, they go to see Star Wars today, and then they go and see the Oscar movies the rest of the week. They're not going to see it in the same
it's
way
not
that
the same
those of
thing.
Us do.
I completely
like, we
agree.
Were all, I didn't see it with you guys, but we all saw it on Tuesday. Everybody except Zia saw it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Christian. We all saw it.
And if you watch Marvel Movie News, you know we always see the movies without Zia.
They do, every
except
time.
Except Spider-Man.
Yeah, you did take me to Spider-Man.
I did take you to Spider-Man. But, and it was just so much fun, beginning to end. I had a great time, and I'll be kind. I did not love The Last Jedi.
And
I am
this.
Not a fan.
That's the thing.
This was so great. And I had watched The Last Jedi the night before I rewatched it. And I already forgot about how much I didn't like it because this was so good.
Well, and that's how I felt too. And so the fact that you said it was good, I was like, okay, I trust him. I trust his opinion because I didn't like The Last Jedi either.
But even if you don't trust us, just go see it for yourself.
Yeah,
if you don't like it and you have all you have all these problems with it, that's fine. Just see it. The even worse than the stupid tomato meter is like, yeah, I read the summary. Sounds like it's going to be a real shit show. I'm like, well, you just read a summary of it. One, you spoiled it for yourself, dummy. I know you like spoilers. But it's just like, just see it.
Yeah, just see it.
Figure out what you think about it.
Something also really important. Last week, Ryan was posed with a question when he said that he would literally do anything to be a pilot, pilot in any Star Wars film.
Sure.
Jeff Graham posed the question, would you kill Baby Yoda?
I hesitated.
He hesitated.
He thought about
it. Now, there's another pilot in the universe.
Poe Dameron.
Oscar Isaac, Poe Dameron. And we're just going to play the clip.
BB-8 or Baby Yoda?
I'm not into the Baby Yoda thing.
Really? He's so cute. Have you watched The Mandalorian?
Kill it.
Wow.
Oscar?
Kill it.
Kill it.
Kill
it.
Stamp it. Smash it.
Stamp it. Smush it, he says.
I was a little bit
in
love with
Oscar
Isaac until this.
Listen.
I was a little bit in love with him until this.
I'm obsessed with John
Boyega.
You
have to kill a baby Yoda to become a pilot in the Resistance.
Okay. This is what I call an enabler, and we are not going to have this slander, especially on the cusp of this episode.
You're right.
Brian, really think about it.
I messed up.
You watched him get taken.
Can we just talk about how BB-8's a poor man's R2-D2? Enough of BB-8.
Yeah, I don't really care about
BB-8. He's not that cool.
He's cool.
He's cool, but I mean, Baby Yoda
but Baby Yoda
is
amazing.
Not only that has hit Star Wars galaxy, just any sort of sci-fi creature, period. And that's that.
Period.
All right, let's get into some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Christian, I know you had some that you spoke to.
I've spoken to a few. I think that IG-11 is on the ship, even though Mando told him not to bring him. I think Quill was like, yeah, we're going to need him. And maybe he was deactivated and he was hiding somewhere. And I think he was able, before he got shot, to activate him. So I think IG-11 is going to F up some ass.
He's going to save Baby Yoda.
He's also
directing the episode.
He's directing the episode.
And in case that's not enough, I think the rest of the Mandalorians are going to come back to help out. I don't know.
Blatt has spoken.
But I think Mando put out the Mando signal, and they're there. They're ready to help.
a Mandalorian helmet and light Ryan.
Even if there's no,
it's all gonna be good, people.
Even if logically he needs to be dead, digested for thousands of years in the stomach of the Starlight. If one of them is Boba Fett, I'm just gonna lose my shit.
Yo, we're gonna be all right, fam.
Yeah,
we're gonna be good.
Last spoken, Zia. What do you think?
Are you calmed down? I definitely also thought that. I know I, you know, said this earlier that the other Mandalorians might make an appearance in this one to come back, because they really are backed into a corner and something has to get them out. Like I said, their Mando is great. He's good, but I don't know if he's that good with Death Troopers and all those Star Troopers. And
he likes those odds, but he's outnumbered.
He's a little bit.
My prediction, and this is taking some context clues into account. There were some awesome trailers for the series, and there's one shot, my favorite shot, that has not popped up yet.
Oh.
Every shot has. More. It is the one where Mando exits the door of this room they are currently stuck in. Blasters blazing like this. And that is so happening next week. I cannot wait for this episode. I think it's going to be a complete shootout. This is like the climax of your Western, of your samurai film. This is going to be epic. I hope it's longer than 40 minutes. I really do.
It'll be 41.
Be 41, but I think it's going to deliver. Incredible prediction from Christian Blatt over there involving IG-11. Yeah. But I do think we're going to get maybe some of those bounty hunters.
Yeah, I think we're getting the bounty hunters back. I think
we'll see them.
I'm trying to see a jetpack on Mando, or but I can wait a little bit.
Ahsoka Tano.
Can I want to.
That'd be
and
awesome.
I don't
That'd
know that you've done awesome. Your prediction yet, but because this is the penultimate episode, who here thinks that we will see Mando's face in the season finale? Oh,
great question.
Not me.
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm with you, Steph. I don't think so.
We're not seeing an ounce of flesh.
I you know, if you do, you know what? I think his helmet, like, you can't even, like, see an eye. We're talking about Captain Phasma before the show.
Honestly.
How you see her eye. I don't think that would happen with Beskar armor.
No, so. I don't. Like, even if I saw a hand, I'd be like,
I mean, I feel wow.
Whoa. Like the obsession deepens.
I think,
I'm sorry.
Do you think Moff Gideon's going to be like, I shoot Baby Yoda, or you take the helmet off?
And there's No. I don't think he cares that much that his helmet is on.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, like, yeah. to care that much his helmet's on, it's like, bro, what's your complex?
Let's I do like that the speeder bike trooper offered to buy it for 20
off.
Credits. He offered to buy Mando's helmet for 20 credits.
Yeah, he's like, on your wall, just go with it.
Yeah,
that
was
really
a good exchange.
We're hunting Mandalorians.
Oh, hot take in the chat. Jenna James, Baby Yoda is a Sith Lord.
Jenna?
Okay.
We know Jenna from Marvel
Movie News.
I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks
I don't
for the
appreciate
view.
The Baby Yoda slander.
Hit that like button.
All right.
I love the theory, though, Jenna.
Wow. It is a very interesting theory.
All right. We do have to wrap. I'm just really looking forward to the finale, and we will make sure to social out when we are going live with that.
Yes.
Until next time, happy holidays first and foremost. But Christian, where can we find you in your Christmas sweaters?
Happy Life Day, everyone. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And tomorrow, Thursday, you can see on the Popcorn Talk Network at 1:30 Pacific, myself, Zia, our co-host Zach Wilson, and the gang from DC Movie News over on Popcorn Talk for the big holiday crossover Marvel DC Christmas special. I guess it's a holiday special. But
holiday
you know,
special.
Life Day special, let's just say. So make sure you tune in for that.
Yeah, I'll be there for that. And you can also... you can
I
also,
think Ryan will be there for that.
Ryan will be there for that in the booth, right?
Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_land. It's XIA_land. And I've got...
It's so awesome.
Mary
Smithmas
in the back.
Mary Smithmas. I will be there tomorrow. That's 1:30 p.m. for that DC Marvel crossover. It's going to be awesome. Adam Gertler, Roxy Stryer, Zach Wilson, Zia Anderson, Christian Blatt. And you can find Steph Sabra and myself tomorrow, 4 p.m. Popcorn Talk for Star Wars News, talking Rise of Skywalker and Mandalorian at Ryan Nilsson at RyanNilsson_.
Yes, I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me at Steph Sabra on Instagram and Twitter. Until next time, may the Force be with you. Happy holidays.
We have spoken.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.